And this was a very simple diagram I ended up with. Two main structures which are conical. The two are making a sandwich in between an inside park or promenade, which it would be sheltered by glass, and in summer the glass would be made opaque. So this is an inner garden which transforms itself into the greenhouses, which are the sun collectors and the foodstuff production centers. Those are very large areas, like squares with different levels and big awnings that would add to this control of the sun according to the seasons. So in general, this is the diagram. The sunshine is pouring. In the winter goes this way, in the summer comes this way. At noon, you produce foodstuff, and then you channel the energy, which is self-propelling because you keep going up throughout the city. And that shows in plan, more or less, the diagram of this channeling of the energy. Different attempts to coordinate the two main structures in a section. And this is the little model. The greenhouse is highly developed in this model, and the two main structures with the park between them. Now, if you cut through there at the center, you have this kind of a diagram, and that tells you immediately the sun, the south is there, because the sun is basically coming down this way. So it penetrates inside between the two blades in the winter, because this is transparent. It's stopped because that becomes opaque in the summer. Now this is March, so it's the equinox. Is it? Yeah, the equinox, the winter equinox. And this is, it looks like maybe 10 in the morning. We had three hours, I think, 4 hours, 8, 10, 2, and 4 at different dates. So this is the equinox, I would say, at 10 in the morning. This is, I would say, 8 in the morning. The sun is already up and it's pouring from the east, and it's beginning to penetrate inside. Not only inside of those conical structures, but between them. Arvin is going to correct me now. This, I would say, is noon, March, the equinox. You see how much sunshine you get inside everywhere. This is March still, but it's in the afternoon. I would say 2 in the afternoon. It's the reverse of the 10. The sun is still quite a bit penetrating in. Naturally, the greenhouses keep pumping and producing foodstuff throughout the day. Pumping heat and producing foodstuff. March, I would say 4 in the afternoon, the sun begins to go down. It's 4 in the afternoon, the shades are becoming very long. And this greenhouse is still working very effectively. June, it's early in the 8 in the morning, the sun is still in the north side of the building, so the building projects all this shade. This greenhouse begins to work. December. This is the opposite. The longest day of the year, the solstice of summer, the solstice of winter, the shortest day of the year. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the sun is already on the south side and begins to penetrate in. December. I would say 10 in the morning, you see how much sunshine you get everywhere, including the sloping surfaces of the buildings. In June at 8 o'clock in the morning, the sun is beginning, it's almost on the south side, and you have quite a bit of deep shade. See the difference between the two. Noon in June, noon in December, you see the shade, the sunshine penetrating everywhere, in the shade produced there, you can add the, if you make that opaque, all that becomes shaded also. And the greenhouses naturally are still very much exposed. December, 2 in the afternoon, we repeat on the west side, what we had on the east side. June, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, again, you can see the difference, especially if you keep in mind that, that becomes all shaded. June, late afternoon, the building itself is shading most of the area with the square and activities, the urban activities. Well, this is just the last slide and attempts to make a parallel between the worst character of megalopoly and ideally the best character of arcology. For one is bigness, for the other is smallness, for one exploitation, for the other is fitness, segregation, integration, matter, mind, power, authority, destruction, conservation, pollution, non-pollution, entropy, asyntropy, dimness, intensity, Eden short, post-Eden, fragmented, structured, exclusive, interiorized, complicated, complex, bureaucratic, performing, opulent, frugal, greedy, cultural, incongruous, congruous. That's the end. So we... Oh, yeah! Should we put the light on before we turn up? I don't know if you like to discuss something, or you're gonna go to bed. They should have to go on. Are you going swimming? Oh, aren't you going on a camping trip? I mean, if you had to go.
All the housing units on the outside and all the, I mean, like in all of those units, even in the one that...
What is another
spirit?
What just
messed
up consciousness and so on. But that's because the machinery has become so highly sophisticated
that it has to be a synergistic.
Yeah, I think you can't. I cannot think in terms of pure spirit because I need to see what is the mechanism that allows the spirit to be able to perform. In fact, be able to. Evidently, the aircrafts always land against the wind, so by being tangential to the building, the fumes will always be taken away from the building. The noise, in a way, is the same thing in lesser terms. The wind helps the noise, or the wind works against the noise, or the wind would always work against the noise. The other thing is that you never fly on top of the habitat. You always fly tangentially to it. And then third, hopefully the aircrafts are going to become less noisy and less polluted. But the main thing is that instead of traveling, as you do in Los Angeles, for maybe 15, 20 minutes on houses, a few hundred feet above them, or maybe a thousand feet, you always are away from the habitat. And it's only the last few minutes where you get close to it when you're landing.
And what about the unit, the structure that you did really fast that has the landing unit on top?
Well, the landing strip on top of the building is already a common thing. They're mostly vertical takeoff and landing, but depending on the size of your building, you can have a landing standing strip and not even be conscious that you have it. It's a question of sheltering. When you don't see a sound, you hear much less of it. It's we can say in acoustic, you don't want to hear it, you don't see it, number one.
Outside of walking, what is the transportation system?
Beginning with what we have now, which is elevators, escalators, and evidently the most sophisticated version of those things. Evidently, you would need some devices for people that cannot walk or doesn't want to walk. And those could be, in horizontal terms, could be any kind of person carrier that would be probably noiseless and probably non-pollutant. For one reason, because of the speed would be always very, very slow. You cut the distances, so you don't need any speed at all. So the walking speed or the bicycling speed are the maximum. That's where you really make a drastic cut on energy depletion, natural pollution. Speed is a very expensive thing, no matter how you go about it. Very costly.
Do you have a timetable to superimpose what is done now or what's the plan? Obviously, it's very vague, extraordinarily sophisticated thing, but I mean, what do you see in the future as far as if we were to come back and say 10 years, what would you see?
Well, within 10 years, you would see enough to see that how the thing might begin to work. But I couldn't, other than that, I don't know. You could build it in 5 years if you got the means. Because if you got the means, suddenly when you stop for a year to replan the whole thing and then in 3 or 4 years you build it, even less.
You fill the entire thing to be built in 5 years? Shape up at the top that you lose that by cutting off the top.
Well, that's why there are columns. If you look at the model, there are supports.
So you need to add support when
you cut off the top. Well, I don't know. Probably you will not have to, but if you want to save in structural cost, probably you would be better to add vertical support. And those vertical support can become shafts for elevators, for instance. And then they can also work as, as screening elements for support of all sorts of screening and so on. So they are not necessarily a negative thing.
And are you picking up a lot of extra sunlight at some part of the year by cutting it off?
That's why I think you would have to add awnings. And I'm still very much sold on very light structures of that kind. Because then you can really add a flexibility, which is important and also very effective and very interesting from many points of view. And having the anchorage to build membranes would be quite easy. It's difficult to build membranes, but you have to build the anchorages for them. But if the anchorages are there, then it's a question of getting down to it.
What are the dynamics of, I presume you've done something about catching, the waterfall is infrequent, like up there. Are there some dynamics in catching the waterfall within the structure and preserving it in a reservoir?
I think because you have this very extensive glazing or whatever it is, surface of the greenhouse, for instance, evidently you would have quite a bit of water collection, which is, I think, would be very important. So you could collect water and then maybe you use the part of solar energy to pump it in different kind of areas, including some water reservoirs, which could be then heated by the surplus energy. In fact, in some of the sketches, I have two main water towers in front, and where the hot air would be somewhat concentrated. So you could have production of hot water also.
But there's not, as such right now, a kind of a funneling kind of effect with the ultimate structures on down.
Well, it would depend on how much rainfall you would have. Really, if you're in an area like Hawaii or places where you have 60 inches, for instance, you better do something about it because it's might be very useful. Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, you just get a problem in your hands. If it's an area like here where you have 7 inches when you get it, then it becomes more of a problem of controlling flash floods or that kind of condition. Mm-hmm. And still, if you can accumulate water, you might make a good use. The other thing with the greenhouse is that you can develop a very good hydroponic farming. And apparently you need less than 1/30th of the water that's needed in regular farming. So in conditions like this, which is a very extensive condition, think of Africa, hydroponic might become a necessity. If you go that far, you've got it far in glazing, very extensive surfaces, why not try to incorporate other things like the air conditioning of our community.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good time. See you Monday. Before the postcard. How's it going, Father?
There's something in the line of hexahedrons.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that, could you depend on using solar energy for?
I would not choose that kind of a scheme for solar energy. Cincinnati. Well, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow we have plans. Sneaky questions. Well, I'm applying, I don't know where, who, for a grant to develop that design. I might apply to the Shah of Persia.
Do you have any engagements in Europe?
Well, with the Shah of Persia.
Asia.
Eh? No, only.
Edinburgh.
That's not the best place for solar energy, but I.
Shah just bought 25%
of crop.
Crop, so he's getting closer to
Europe. 25% is a big chunk. Edinburgh has the energy problem in reverse almost now. They are afraid they are getting too much energy. Watch you walk now. You need help?
No, I'm okay. Thank you very much.
Good night.